Gracias, Espinosa, and welcome to this episode to our editor, Hannah Theodore.
Thank you so much for having me, Gracia, back on the red couch.
Yeah, well, it will be our first episode on camera and the first episode of the summer, too.
This is true. We have done audio episodes in the past. It's officially summer now. It feels like officially it's summer. May 1st is like a special time at the FSU because that's when we start a new year. So everything kind of feels refreshed right now. We're going to be doing video episodes every week throughout the summer, which is, I hope, going to be exciting for folks out there who are avid watchers. And it's going to be a lot of me and you. So I'm glad we're getting in the practice of it.
And that's why we thought it would be a great idea to talk about our favorite places here in London for the new students, people who are going to be here in London during the summer.
Yes.
So how do you want to organize the information? Because we have a lot of places.
We have a lot of places. So I think what I want to start with is, because we have different backgrounds and histories with like our relationship with the City of London. So I want to talk about like, how long have you lived here?
Okay.
And like, how long did it take you to really feel like this was your home and that you could, you started to know
not
places?
A foreign, like, I mean,
not a foreigner. But yeah, like when, like, because I know I have my own experience, but I'm just curious for you.
Oh,
as someone
okay,
who
sure.
Like, you came from Spain.
Yeah.
What were like the initial differences you noticed, and then like how long did it take you to say, I do have a favorite place in London and like this is it, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay, so I arrived to Canada on May 2nd, 2022.
Oh my god, it's like almost your two year anniversary.
Yeah,
okay,
I celebrated like, with my boyfriend the anniversary in Canada.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so one of the most shocking cultural things that I had, it was the events that I saw here in Fanshawe College, because I didn't have, for example, sex toy bingo or activities all the time in my university in Spain. So for me, that's one of the shocking things that I experienced. And at the same time, for me, it was weird to live at the beginning in a town like London, because I was born in Madrid, the capital of Spain.
Yeah.
So for me, when I was in my city, you know, I could walk to anywhere, mm-hmm. because I was in the downtown.
Right.
So for me, it was the most difficult thing when I arrived here.
You found London like a little more spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you need to take the cab or the bus to go to different places, and the downtown mm-hmm. is small.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, you are going to find all the time your friends and colleagues. So that's why I like a little downtown, and it looks like you are going to see all the time your friends, like
your found family.
Your family.
Yeah, your found family. Yeah. So and that's interesting that like and like when did you immediately start going downtown? Like, were you looking for places? Like,
immediately.
You, yeah, you're like, I need to find the mm-hmm. spots. Yeah.
Yeah, because Fanshawe College, when I was looking for a college, you know, to study, I expected that the college will be in the downtown. We had a campus there,
yes.
But
the main one
thought the main one would be in the downtown,
right.
not here. I mean,
yeah,
far away from the downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah.
When I found that, oh, there is a downtown and my campus is not there, I have to go.
Yeah, you got to find your way there. What's interesting is, so I moved here from Toronto, so Toronto is not really a walkable city.
No.
At least not where I lived. I was taking transit everywhere, and Toronto is very large, and I was like a city person, 100%.
You are a city girl,
I'm
too.
I'm a city girl, straight up. Like, and so I was surprised when I came here for school. I was like 19, and there were folks that had come from smaller towns that were like, oh my God, London is like this big city. And I was like, it's not, you know, but I understand that it might feel that way to someone who'd come from a smaller town. But I found when I was a student, especially at Western, because Western is kind of, it's closer to downtown.
Yeah, it's close.
But it's weirdly isolated. And especially like if you live on campus, which I did in my first year, there was not really ever much incentive to explore the city of London.
Yeah.
So I would get, you know, I think most Western
students... Because you didn't find people or you didn't see promotion of the London city?
I just didn't... Well, a little bit of that. And also, you know, you're just not necessarily encouraged to do that. And if you are, if you're kind of with your Western community, there's never much of a reason to go further than, you know, Richmond Row.
Well, they want to encourage to study.
Well, yeah, go to school, right? But that was kind of where we were isolated to, was like, you maybe went as far as the Seeps. Right, but never really beyond that. But it wasn't until I met my fiance, who had grown up in London, and I met him in my fourth year of university, and that was when I actually started seeing other parts of the city. Right,
interesting.
His family lives in White Oaks, and there were like bars that I'd never been to before, where, you know, you would just wouldn't think as a Western student that you would go to a bar like that, but then you're there and you're like, oh, I see, this is where the locals are hanging out, right? So now I've been here almost 10 years and I feel like a local now. Now I feel like we were talking before we got in here and you were like, okay, so these are the places I'm thinking. And I was like, I know them all. You name a place, I know it, because once you get acquainted here, it's just like second nature. But it takes a while. And you have to look for stuff.
I don't feel like a local, but I feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Now I know if I want to have fun with my friends or I want to do a special dinner with my boyfriend or
you know the spots
whoever.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start there. Let's start with food.
Okay.
What is, so, okay, date night.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going on a date night?
Both. I mean, I have to say that, for example, I love food from South America.
Of course.
And one of the places that I really, really enjoyed when we were together on Christmas, celebrating, you know, with all the colleagues before the holidays, it was Che Restobar.
Che Restobar was very good.
Che Restobar, I like it.
I'm trying to remember what I ate there.
I don't remember.
Oh, it was
remember.
Like a stuffed pepper. It was a stuffed pepper.
Because they have different dishes from South America.
Yeah.
So the typical
ceviche.
Oh,
it was a poblano. It was a stuffed poblano.
Yeah,
guys.
Ceviche from Peru. They have alcohol at the same time from different countries of South America. It's like, it's not a fusion.
Fusion. Yeah.
So I like
fusion.
It so much.
Yeah, that place was, that was my first time I'd ever eaten there, was for that holiday party. I'd say that's a nice spot. Grace, downtown on Dundas.
I saw it, but I have never been there, for example.
Like, really nice for, like, a nice night out, like, fancy dinner. Also in Wortley, I'm going to get it wrong now. It used to be called the Wolf of Wortley. It's called something else now. But also really good for just, like, small plates and, like, good cocktails. Also, like, if you love a cocktail... that's somewhere I would recommend. Wortley Village is another place that, like, I wouldn't have known about without, like, I had to seek it out, because it's sort of like a South London spot, but it's so beautiful. It's like a beautiful little neighborhood. And there's also a vegan restaurant there called Plant Matter Kitchen.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah.
Terrace Tovar, I think they had vegan options, but I don't know, in the Grace...
Grace has vegan options, too.
Okay.
This is the other thing, too. Like, I'm vegan. I've been vegan for a long time. I've watched many vegan restaurants come and go in this city. And I've just... Like, I've only been here 10 years, right? So the fact that I've seen that many open and close in that time is, like, kind of a bummer. But the ones that have stayed are sort of, like, staples that I will just eat at all the time. But... I have noticed a shift in terms of, like, most places now at least have an option, especially, like, fancy restaurants, right? If you're going to a Che Restobar, if you're going to Grace, they're gonna have options, because they want to cater to everyone, right? And I feel like that would probably go for any dietary restriction.
Do you know other place that you can enjoy a good burger and vegan one? The Works.
Yes. I love The Works. I haven't eaten at The Works in so long.
I went with my friends recently, and it was delicious. And they have two vegan burgers that I love them.
I need to go back. It's been... I remember when The Works first opened, it was like this crazy phenomenon And my family and I used to go all the time when we lived in Toronto. This was like our night out spot was the Works because it's so fun.
Yeah.
And at that time, there weren't a lot of places like that, like the like a fancy, you know, but like a burger place like that. Now I feel like they're kind of a dime a dozen, but at that time it was kind of like a whole thing.
And if you want to go with your couple, your husband, your wife, it will be great, better during, not on the weekends, because on Friday and weekends, the Works, busy, full out.
It's nice too, because that's a bit more of a casual spot too. Obviously, like burgers, right? So if you're looking for something fancier, like London has tons of like fancy restaurants you can go to. Casual wise, the Works is great. Works. Also, the Mule on Richmond.
Oh, the Mule. I went with my boyfriend too.
Girl, did you like it?
Yeah, I like it, but I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Perhaps for the Mule for me, it's more if you want to. If you are not very hungry.
Yeah.
That, I mean, if you want to snack.
Because it's like all tacos, right? Yeah. It's not more, like a dinner.
Yeah, it's not dinner. That's the thing.
I think if you want like a dinner Mexican food, Los Lobos is great.
Oh, I don't know.
You might want to check that one out. It's same people who own, I remembered what the Wolf place is called now. It's called Company Bar. So it's like the same owners. They own Company Bar, and then they also own Los Lobos. The inside is really cool. Mm-hmm. If you go inside, it's like really cool. I took my dad there. He loved it. Really cool decorations. A lot of like Day of the Dead stuff, and like you feel like it's dark and it's kind of cool. Again, great cocktails. And really good like Mexican
the
food.
The atmosphere and
everything. The atmosphere is really cool. Again, gets super busy and they don't take reservations. Another thing to check in London, always make sure you're going somewhere that takes reservations.
Yeah, I always try to call the restaurant the day or 2 days before to know, because sometimes you cannot book. You have to be in person.
Yeah.
There is another famous Italian restaurant in the entrance of the downtown.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name. It's always busy.
I'm so bad. I don't go to a lot of Italian restaurants because...
No?
Well, accommodation-wise, here's the thing. I love Italian food, but it's just not great when it's vegan.
I would love
to eat fresh pasta, but it has eggs in it, right?
Like
I want to eat pizza, but especially if you're going to like a proper Italian restaurant, they're gonna look at you like you're insane if you're like, can I have vegan cheese? They're like, what are you talking about? That's not real.
Thank you so much for letting me know, because you are not the only one who is vegan in our office, for example.
That's true.
And it's
good
because sometimes you don't see that. Oh, perhaps for vegan people, that's not the accurate place.
And same with like my partner being celiac, right? And like the fact that he can't have gluten. It's like that. Unfortunately, that cuisine is just kind of like off limits to us. But we make it for ourselves at home all the time, like our own version. That's like vegan, gluten free.
Better.
But yeah, man, I wish I could eat real Italian food.
But we were talking all the time about dinner, lunch.
Yeah.
A place to take a breakfast. What do you think? For me, Early Bird.
Early Bird is great for breakfast. There's one thing I can eat on that menu, and I get it all the time. It's like a tofu sandwich. It's delicious. I will often order breakfast from a vegan restaurant called Odd Burger, because I miss like a McDonald's Egg McMuffin a lot. It's so good. It's just classic. And they do like a really good vegan version of like just Egg McMuffins and hash browns. Like I like trash breakfast, you know what I mean? Like that's what I want. I want to be like a gremlin on a Sunday morning eating that kind of thing. Because vegan breakfast is tough to find, I'll be honest. I want to switch gears. What's another, what was another, we've got food. Where else, what else do we want to talk about in terms of like other places?
Next to
what were you thinking? Yeah.
You have the arcade bar.
Okay, so we want to talk bars.
Yeah.
Games. Okay. Arcade bar is a delight. I've been there a couple times. I had a great time.
And I have just discovered that in Toronto they have the same arcade bar, but it's more expensive. Because in Toronto,
sounds like Toronto.
In Toronto it's $10 And here it's only $7, and you can play. You can just all play unlimited.
It's so fun. It's so nostalgic, like being at a bar and like. But it's nostalgic, but also so like grown up, right? Like I was drinking a Smirnoff Ice, which is like the least grown up drink. Their drink options are limited. I was drinking a Smirnoff Ice, but like sitting in a bar playing Mario Kart with my friends, it's like so cool. And then you can go get like hot dog and fries and stuff. They got a cute little menu. It feels like you're at a drive-in. It's great. It's delightful.
I like the rec room that you can find in the mall.
The rec room, yes.
But in that case, for example, if you want to play more, they have more variety of video games, not retro games.
Yeah.
But
they do have the giant Space Invaders, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty classic.
The problem is the tickets. Bad player, very bad. So
and it's expensive.
It's expensive, but if you're a bad player like me, it's the worst. Because in the arcade bar, if you lose, no worries.
Doesn't matter.
But in the rec room, no. You paid like for 25 or 26 tickets.
I do love the rec room. I used to when it first opened. My like.
In Masonville.
Yeah, it's a Masonville mall. I would go all the time with my my fiance and my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
So the four of us went to go see Hereditary in the movie theater, which I don't know if you've seen this movie. It's horrifying, a very, very horrifying film. We saw it in the middle of the day.
But what was the movie?
Hereditary.
Ah, yeah, of course. Okay. For me, one of the most terrifying movies that I have ever watched in the last years.
I'm saying it was it was horrifying. Our first time seeing it in the cinema.
I'm glad you watch it in the morning, right?
So it was the middle of the day and we got out of the theater and we walked out into the broad daylight. And I swear to God, the four of us just stood there and we were like, what do we do now? What's going, like, it was like we'd stepped back into the world and we were like, no.
I could not sleep after that movie.
But you know what we did? We walked straight to the rec room. We were like, well, we're here. Let's decompress, because what are we going to do now? How do we go on? And we just like went to the rec room and played video games for a bit. And I really think it helped like come down from just the like jarring high and also like deep emotional low that film.
I promise I watched that movie, in my case, at midnight with two friends. And after the movie, I was like, okay, I cannot go home.
No, period. Like I cannot imagine.
In the apartment of my friend because I was.
I don't blame you. But yeah, so T, like that's why they're like the rec room can be a delight if you're just like at the mall and you want something fun to do with your friends. It's a good time. I also love bars with like live music. Mm-hmm. Those are few and far between these days, but Palisade at Oxford and Adelaide is a bowling alley, which also has live music. And there's also arcade games. Oh my gosh, you should. Palisade is great. It's, you know, like $35 or something for like an hour of bowling.
Oh, wow.
You get your little shoes and it's so nice inside. Like they just renovated in the last couple of years. So it's really beautiful. They have pool tables. And then sometimes they'll just open up a stage and then there's live music at the same. You can be bowling and there's like a show happening at the same time.
What
it's really
kind
cool.
of music? I mean, I don't know if you can.
Oh, anything.
Anything.
So like they have punk shows that'll come through. They have artists come from out of town that play there. Like pop acts, DJs, rock music, punk music, like anything. Patrick's band has played there. If anyone knows Patrick, our events coordinator, he has a band. So like he's played shows at Palisade. Yeah, that's a super cool venue, and it's in a really convenient spot, I think, if you're a Fanshawe student, because it's on that Oxford corridor, right? You just get to Oxford and Adelaide, it's right there.
Because the only place that I listen live music was in Molly's Moon.
Molly Bloom's, yep, they have
Molly's Bloom, sorry.
Molly Bloom's has live music, like acoustic music. I think Winx does acoustic music sets as well. And then if you want to see like a proper show, right, you've got like Rum Runners and London Music Hall. London Brewing Co-op has been hosting shows, which again, so this is great timing too if you're watching this episode and you're looking for things to do in London, pick up The Navigator. We worked very hard on a magazine which covers a lot of this stuff, including like bars that are offering live music, talks about London Brewing Co-op and Palisade, all of these places.
In our YouTube channel, the Interurban, I did a video about the London is one of the most exciting cities, you know, to have fun in the night. So.
Oh, yeah. There's great nightlife here. And London is a... Last year, we received the UNESCO certification. Like we're a music city.
City.
According to the UN, guys, that's official. So,
and one of the reasons is our most famous festival on the summer.
Yep.
The Sunfest.
Yep.
That we will talk about it, but later.
Yes, we're gonna talk about all the festivals this coming this summer, music festivals. Maybe like the prelude to that. Can we talk parks real quick? Because natural areas in this city, this is the forest city. We talk a lot about nightlife in the city and the downtown, but like there are some natural beauty here. Meadow Lily.
For me, my favorite fancy Pioneer Village.
Pioneer, yes.
Fancy
absolutely.
Pioneer Village. It's not expensive. I mean, and you can go with your car if you have, guys. With public transport. So then let's maybe
history. Mm-hmm. Like natural stuff, but also history, right? So that's a great example of that. But also we talked a bit about Banting House.
So this is
the other thing too, right? Like there are tourist attractions in this city, from Museum London, which is fantastic. But like quite famously, Insulin was discovered
here
in London, Ontario, by Mr. Frederick Banting. You can pass the house. It's right on Adelaide, just past Dundas. If you're going south, wrong direction entirely, north. If you're going north on Adelaide, you'll pass Banting House, and what makes it so identifiable. So the magical thing about the discovery of insulin, which will also be, you know, maddening if you're someone like me who has a partner with type 1 diabetes. When Frederick Banting discovered insulin, he sold the patent for $1 because he wanted everyone to have access to insulin.
Oh.
And guess what? It's a really nice thought. The pharmaceutical companies didn't care about that. They charged all the money in the world for people to access insulin. And to this day, it's still very expensive to purchase insulin.
Yeah. And that's why London has a lot of hospitals and community centers related
to healthcare is huge here.
Diabetes.
Yep. There's tons of research going on all the time. Also, at the university, right? Western has a huge research department, medical facilities. There's a hospital on campus at Western. So when you're passing Banting House, this is how you'll know you're passing it. Obviously, it's an old house and there's a statue, which will be hard to miss. But you'll also see the flame.
And is this one of the historical sites here in Canada?
Yeah,
London, in Canada.
Yeah, huge. Like, and honestly, around the world, like, I feel like they even know, like, Americans know even that insulin was discovered in Canada.
Yeah, it's funny because most of the students know that London is the forest city, but not the place where the insulin was created. I mean, was conceived.
Yeah, it's a huge medical discovery that, you know, obviously changed the world. So when you pass by Banting House, you'll see the flame. So if the flame is still, because insulin is not the cure for diabetes, right? Insulin is a treatment for diabetes.
Yeah, it's a treatment because at the end it's a chronic disease,
It's
right?
a chronic disease for which there is no cure. So as long as the flame is burning, that means they have yet to discover the cure for diabetes.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they have that that quote in...
Yeah. So, you know, you try to make, like, my partner and I will make light of it, like, we'll... Even though, you know, inside it's devastating, right? You're like, we wish we had a cure for this disease, but we'll drive by and we'll be like, oh, if we go away for the weekend or something, we'll be like, oh, they didn't find a cure while we were away. Oh, well, maybe next time. But that's
it happens. No, it happens because he was born in London.
Yeah.
So when you have been here all your life, you say, oh, I will go.
Yeah.
Because I had the same problem when I was in Madrid.
Right.
Because we have the most important museums, and I will go. And later you say, well, I didn't go.
I didn't go. No, and so that's the thing. Like, the summer is such a great time to explore those places that you might not have a chance to do it otherwise. Get out there, have fun. There's so many places that are accessible for free too, like those parks. You don't have to go inside Banting House. You can just look at it from the, like, there are great opportunities if you are able to go inside, but just take that walk.
And Victoria's Park, right?
Victoria Park, again, beautiful, right?
It's so free for everyone. Yeah. You can see the goose, the Canadian goose. Yeah,
just keep your distance. Don't bother them.
No, seriously.
I think we set them up pretty well. Hmm? I think we set them up pretty well.
I think
the people know. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for more stuff to do, pick up the Navigator.
Please.
It's on newsstands right now at Western and Fanshawe. And you can visit navigatorlondon.ca to read all the articles online.
So no excuse.
No excuses.
The magazine on internet, on the website, and in paper.
Yeah.
Right now.
There, if you're bored this summer, that's on you.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to another episode of the Red Couch Podcast. You can catch up with every episode on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, well, wherever you want to listen us. And for sure, how I can continue? It's like the newsletter.
Yeah, subscribe to the newsletter to keep up with all things Fanshawe, if you will. And pick up the Navigator.
Yeah. And for the interrogant, and gracias, Pinoza.